Chicago Cubs postgame show on the station that knows the Cubs the best.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Cubs lose 6-5 in 13 innings. A thriller, a crazy game in San Francisco. It is now over in 13 innings. So as I look at my handy-dandy longest games in postseason history, that would put the Cubs-Giants game in a tie for eighth place with 13 innings.
Welcome to the postgame show.
True Blue Playoff Plus presented by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking. Adam Hoge, Andy Mazur, Mark Carmen here with you.
We got 17 minutes for you tonight, Tim.
It only took 2 hours and 43 minutes of our show to get to the postgame show.
So this is a tough loss for the Chicago Cubs. Let's just call it, let's be accurate here. It was a great game. 13 innings. The Giants pull it off 6-5. It's a nauseating feeling right now. Quite honestly, you feel like you let a game get away at least once, if not twice. And you're going to have a quick turnaround here and gear up for game four with John Lackey and Matt Moore. And, you know, you're trying to avoid not coming back to Chicago and face an elimination game. The Giants are now 10-10 in their last 10 elimination games as they come back from three runs down tonight to beat the Cubs 6-5. And, you got some issues going on as far as the offense is concerned. Fowler tonight was 1-for-5. He's hitting .167 in the series. Chris Bryant was 3-for-5. He's hitting .417. Anthony Rizzo was 0-for-6 with 2 strikeouts. Hasn't had a hit in the series. 0. Jorge Soler, 0-for-3. Hasn't his one game starting. Ben Zobrist, 1-for-5, hitting .167. Addison Russell, 1-for-5, hitting .83. Javi Baez has been great, 2-for-6, hitting .417. And Miggy was 0-for-3 in his first start, so he hasn't scratched.
I'm going to be very interested to hear Joe Maddon following the game, finding out the thought process as we go back to much earlier in the game with Aroldis Chapman coming into the game in the eighth inning with nobody out and a runner on at first base and a one-run lead. And it kind of imploded from there. And again, we discussed much earlier in the show about the thought process and what might have been going through Joe Maddon's mind at that particular point. It was a situation where you really could have used a strikeout. You get the strikeout of Hunter Pence, but then the floodgates kind of opened up. The Giants take the lead. Chris Bryant, I mean, hey, what can you say about that guy? I mean, in the top of the ninth inning, ties it with a two-run homer, and we play on until the 13th inning, and here Joe Panip is the hero for the Giants, and it's a 2-1 series.
312-981-7200. We're here with you. Can still sneak in some of your phone calls, as I'm sure you're still awake watching this one. And unfortunately, it ends with a Cubs loss. This was a tough one, considering some of the big hits you got. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about that with you. A lot of good moments here for the Cubs in this game, and yet it ends with a loss. That's a tough pill to swallow. This is True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN. Cubs lose 6-5. It's a final in 13 innings. One of the longer games in MLB postseason history. I believe it ties for the eighth longest game in MLB postseason history. The Cubs, a lot of dramatic moments in this game, but the bottom line is that they had a 3-0 lead early in the game after Jake Arrieta hit just an amazing home run that you're not expecting to get off Madison Bumgarner. Mm-mm. You're not expecting your starting pitcher to go yard against a guy who had never given up a home run to a pitcher before in his career. And there was opportunities after that to build on that 3-0 lead and really put this series out of reach for the Giants. The Cubs didn't do that. And late in the game, Joe Maddon brings in Aroldis Chapman in the eighth, which I don't have a problem with, but he blows the save, blows the lead there in that situation, and the Cubs need a 2-run home run from Chris Bryant in the top of the ninth just to force extra innings. Another enormous, memorable home run that you get in this game, some clutch hitting, and yet it ends in a loss in 13. That's a tough loss for the Chicago Cubs.
And let's be honest here, and we're all about a new era,
mm-hmm.
but you know, to me, if you're going to go back and think about it, this feels a little bit like Game 4, San Diego 84. That was a game that they were up and ended up giving away late, and then Steve Garvey hits the home run that Henry Cotto's still climbing the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Until you exercise all the demons and get to 11, you're at 9.
Here's the thing, though, Carm. This doesn't feel like a game where there were demons or
no.
any kind of cubby curse or anything. I mean, you just didn't close out a team. This was a baseball game.
This was performance.
Yeah, you didn't close out a team tonight you had the opportunities, and they beat you. You let a team hang around late. That's all that happened tonight.
That's what happened in Game 4 and 84. I'm just saying. That's the same thing. I mean, it's not like they had Leon Durham booting a ball like they did in Game 5. I believe they're going to win tomorrow, and if they don't win tomorrow, I believe they're going to win Game 5. But again, when you talk about like just play it forward for a second here. They were up 3-0. Arrieta hit a homer off of Madison Bumgarner, and somehow they went on to lose the game in stupid Joe Panic. I mean, it falls under Cubs lore. It just does. You had an opportunity to move on, and it was dying for you to grab it. It really was, and they just didn't do it. Period. End of story.
It was kind of dying for both teams to take it at certain points, and nobody seemed to really.
And Joe Maddon really did not have a good night tonight. He just didn't.
No, and I don't know. Again, we need to hear from him. I mean, that's the kind of thing where you have to kind of wait and see what.
Rather hear from him than Pete Rose.
What kind? That's a really awful bow tie he's wearing too. To kind of find out again the thinking of when he used Aroldis Chapman, maybe instead of Carl Edwards. Now, we thought at the time maybe Edwards wasn't available, but we saw him get up as Montgomery was trying to do his best to keep his team in the game and really get stretched out. So, again, there's a lot of questions that I think are still up in the air that we're going to have to leave to the reporters there on scene to ask.
Yeah, my biggest problem with that was just how long he left him in.
And that's know, too. That's
what,
a great
what
point.
What did he have, 21 pitches? Okay, he blew it. Fine.
Yeah, get him out.
Get him out because now you're going to need him tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to probably need this guy tomorrow night, and let's say he's fine. Let's say he's fine to pitch tomorrow, mm-hmm. even though that would be 4 outings in 5 days after he threw 21 pitches tonight.
Right.
Let's say he's fine and gets through that. Well, yes, you have another off day, but then you need him again in Game 5, possibly if you lose. And now, let's say even if you win, but you use him in Game 5. So there he pitched in all 5 games. I know I'm getting crazy here, but you got to think about these things. If he happens to pitch all 5 games, let's say you move on, but all of a sudden now there's a storyline because you got to turn around and play Saturday where your closer's getting overworked. And so that was my issue with that moment.
Yeah, you know, this is the most difficult thing that managers have to deal with as far as these postseason series are concerned, because you have to manage for that game, but you also kind of have to manage in the back of your mind for the possibility that you may need this guy again. It's a real tough catch-22 because you're trying, obviously, to win this particular game, as Herm Edwards says. You play to win the game. You know, so you got to go for it if you're going to go for it. This is what you got to roll this Chapman for. This is what you gave up Gleyber Torres for.
312-981-7200. Let's go out to the phone lines and bring in Gary. Hey, Gary.
Yeah, I would have taken Montgomery out myself, but
in that last inning?
Yes.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, they've done – the Cubbies have done everything right all year long, so – they'll take him out tomorrow.
You know,
thanks for the phone call, Gary.
Yeah, Gary, the only thing I would say, you know, is it was lefty-lefty. You know, you've got and I know it sometimes is overrated. You got a lefty that's kind of tiring toward the end. Maybe you get the fresh right-hander that throws 97 to come in there. Yeah, you know, I get the point. I mean, I get the point. I don't think Montgomery was the problem, though.
I can't fault Joe Maddon for not taking Mike Montgomery out.
Yeah, I don't that.
I looking ahead here. Matt Moore starting tomorrow. There's only one Cub who has faced him. I mean, this is a guy that's been with the Rays his whole career. He's pitched 12.
Joe Maddon knows him though.
Joe Maddon knows him. He's pitched and the Cubs have wanted to get Matt Moore.
Mm-hmm.
He was traded to the Giants this year. He pitched 12 games, 68 in the third innings, 59 hits.
Hey, Carmen, I'm gonna interrupt you because Joe Madden's at the podium right now. Let's hear from Joe Maddon.
Okay,
there we go.
Woody pitched against Belt. I liked that. He gets a base hit. And then Ronnie on Posey was a better matchup based on what's been going on lately with Chapman versus Posey. So I like that too. Now, had he gotten Posiotto to let him pitch to Pence right there, but there was a threat for a bunt. There's all kinds of things they could have done there, and I know it's hard to bunt 100 miles an hour. So let's just bring him in right there, give him a little wiggle room. He gets a strikeout, and then you kind of feel okay about things. And give Gillespie credit, man. He did it a couple of days ago. He got an elevated fastball and hit it to the far part of the ballpark. I think it surprised a lot of people. That's just a good at-bat on his part, and then followed by a Crawford hit. So I did not want to have to do that, but I felt we had to do it under the circumstances.
Next question over here to the left. Again.
Joe, a lot of times a game like this can be a punch in the gut, but you guys have been pretty resilient all year. What's the feeling like, and you pretty confident that you guys will be able to shake this thing off?
Good baseball game. You know, that's my takeaway. I think that both sides should be somewhat exhilarated. Obviously, they win, so they're going to feel a bit better about it, but there's nothing on our side to be ashamed of. I was really proud of our kids, man. How about Montgomery at the end there? We're down to CJ in the bullpen, and he's not thrown that many pitches in an outing this year, so I did not want to have to put him in a 3 or 4 inning potential situation. Plus, they had all these lefties, so I felt good about Monty going as far as he possibly could. If we had caught the lead, then I was definitely going to flip it over to CJ at that point. But up and down, everybody got to play pretty much. Tommy didn't get in the lineup today, and CJ didn't play. Otherwise, pretty complete effort on our part. I loved our way. I thought we played it hard, we played it right, and they beat us.
All right, there's Joe Maddon at the podium in San Francisco. Can you help? What was it? Help with the first answer?
Yeah,
because we missed a question.
Yeah, I think he said he would rather. It sounded though that he wanted a Rondon to face Posey. He liked that matchup better than the Chapman. If you remember, in game one, was it game one? Or yeah, it was game one where Posey hit the double to the gap in left center. Was that game one or game two?
No, that was game one.
Game one. Posey was 6-for-11 career against Chapman.
Okay.
So I get the fact that Rondon, I just remember that as it came to me here, because Rondon faced Posey and walked him. Then they brought in, and I think he was explaining that he brought in Pence then.
Yeah,
I think we were kind of on the same line there, Carmel. We were thinking, too, about what was going to go on with Carl Edwards at the end here. Had they gotten the lead with Montgomery, that it's unfair to put a kid like Edwards, who hasn't been stretched out at all, to be your last line of defense before you have to think about using tomorrow's starter.
Yeah, and to add on to that, Andy, just getting some texts here. People watching the post game, A-Rod, who can be hit or miss. You know, I played with Chapman, and he said that this guy's a routine guy all day. And I think we saw that when he first came over here. He did not like Maddon used him for 1 1/3 a bunch of times, and then that ended.
Two or three times the very first appearances he made.
Yeah, so Maddon wants to use this guy when he feels like he needs him. And if you were going to criticize Joe Maddon, in my mind, on one thing, he's a little bullpen triggery itchy. Like, early in the year, he throws Travis Wood all the time. He did the same thing with Pedro Strop. When he has a hot hand, somebody that he trusts, he wants to get him out there. He's trying to win. And right or wrong, that's how he's going to play it. And most times it works out for him. Mm-hmm. Listen, and tonight it just didn't.
All right, we got to get out of here, guys, unfortunately. Good evening. Welcome in. This is True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur here with you tonight, sitting in for Patty Vasquez. Till 2 o'clock, it's all Cubs for the next 3 hours. And, of course, the Cubs game is still going on right now.
I love sitting in for Patty whenever Patty gets a deserved day off. This is going to be a challenging show, team. Let's just be honest about it. It's 3-2, Cubs up a run, top of 7. And we're here to guide you through. For those who cannot watch, for those who cannot take the pressure, we'll tell you everything that happens, and we will just guide you along with Cubs stories. And I got to be honest, this night started out beautifully. I was by myself, team.
You messed it all up.
I had my own situation in the WGN conference room. I had my veggie soup. I had my Saparita salad.
And I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
I have no idea what that. First of all, that's your first mistake.
It was delicious.
No, it wasn't.
It was delicious.
Something called that cannot be delicious.
Okay, you're right. A cheeseburger would have been better, but that's what I went with. I went health, And then they're up 3-0 after Jake Arrieta hits the greatest home run since Kerry Wood hit a bomb in Game 7 of 2003.
And what do you do?
What do I do? I'm walking to go get a tea, and here comes Adam Hoge storming down the hallway, and you just say, we're in Studio A. Where are you? And I said, what do you mean, where am I? I'm here having my Saporita salad and my veggie soup, and the Cubs are up 3-0, and I got to stay here. And then you're like, then you attack me on Twitter, Hoge, with the whole, you're not that important. What you do doesn't matter.
It has no outcome on the game.
And so then
That's true.
And now I moved over, and since I came over here, it's Giants 2, Cubs nothing. And we're going to the bottom of the seventh.
And you're sweating it out a little bit. Well, let's go out to the ballpark and check in with Kevin Powell.
What's that going to do?
Is in San Francisco at the game. KP.
Carm, how do you spell Saporiti? I Googled it because I didn't know what came in that, and I can't even find
Mr.
it on Google.
Mr. Food doesn't know what a Saporito salad is?
That means it's bad.
Hey, just a moment, fellas. Let me check in a bit here. We're about to do the seventh inning stretch here.
All right. Hey, we'll go.
Oh, yeah, they do a little God Bless America there, so it's going to have to be a little quiet.
We'll check back in with Kevin in a second. Fair enough.
The Saporita salad, guys, because this is this is what I have to do during these games. I don't know what you guys do when you feel under the anxiety of a deciding game, even though it's, you know, if they lose, it's not the end of the world. But I have to distract myself. Like, I just went down and got a tea. I got a blueberry muffin.
I know.
I missed a play.
You missed a big play, which I'm about to ask Kevin about.
But I can't. I have to mitigate the tension, which is why it's really we're here for you. I don't know what you do, Mazur, because you've been there and sat in the booth, and you've had nonstop anxiety right in front of you, and in Ronnie back in the day. And
yeah, that was distraction enough. Was kind of watching how Santo reacted to some of these things that were going on in the booth, you know. But I know a lot of people who cannot sit still. I know a lot of people who will sit in one spot and not move the entire game.
Yep.
And
well, you actually supported me in not moving.
I said, stay where you are.
I was having a
Maybe he just didn't want you in here.
Well, that's, you know, you didn't have to tell him that.
I mean, I was
I told you that in confidence.
I was texting away. I was planning out my week.
You have not been calm since you walked in this room.
I haven't been calm all day. I mean, that's not true.
It's okay. The Cubs are up 2-0.
No, listen.
In the series, they're up 3-2 in this game. It's the bottom of the seventh.
Right, but I get it. Listen, I understand they're up 2-0, and you just don't want to extend out the series. You really just don't. Let's do it right now. You're up 3-2. By the way, do you believe in jinxes? Where are you at on this?
No,
no,
no.
Neither
there's
do
no
I.
Curse. There's no jinx.
Neither do I intellectually.
You're not that powerful.
Okay, then neither do I intellectually. So then I'm just going to throw out there.
Kevin, are you back out there? Are you singing the stretch?
Not. It was a lovely rendition of "God Bless America" by a local police officer. He absolutely crushed it. So we're back in business. They're singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game."
Ballpark. Kevin Powell.
And Jason Hayward's finally in the game, guys, right field. I know a lot of people on Twitter were lobbying him for getting back in the game or getting plugged in. He's out in right field right now, and it appears that is Pedro Strop on the mound for the Cubs.
All right.
All right, before we get to what's going on live, can we take you back to the last inning, Kev? Did you guys get any kind of explanation in the press box for the review that happened at first base and them deciding not to rule that, was it Connor Gillespie, right, was safe at first when it looked like Anthony Rizzo's foot was off the bag? Instead, they still called him out because they apparently didn't have enough evidence.
Yeah, we didn't get any sort of explanation, but from my vantage, we have a few TVs here in the press box, but they're sort of far away. They're not really zoomed in. From what I saw, it didn't look like he was off the bag, but if you guys maybe had a better look, was it pretty apparent that he was?
Well, it wasn't obvious. That's the thing. I mean, at first it looked like his foot was off the bag, but you couldn't tell where the ball was right away. And I think after the ball actually got into his glove, he was on it.
To me, from what I saw, there just wasn't enough to overturn it. I mean, either way, though, can we all just sort of sit back and relax and appreciate how amazing of a play that was from Javier Baez? That ball was hit, and I almost started putting my head down, just figured it was an easy single up the middle. And next thing I know, I look up, and Baez is doing some sort of quarter-turn crazy throw, no look to Rizzo. The guy's unbelievable. He makes crazy play after crazy play. But to the actual review, you know, they didn't give us any sort of explanation. And to Andy's, what he just said, I didn't think there was enough to overturn it anyways.
Did they make the announcement? Did they say call was upheld or call stands?
Call stands.
Okay, so then the original call of out was the one that stood. So that's what they said. They said there was no there was no evidence to refute the fact that he was on the back.
There's a picture, a double shot going out on Twitter right now, and there's one of them where his foot looks like it's off the bag, and then there's a second one where the foot looks like it's on the bag, but I can't tell if the ball's in his glove or not.
Bottom line, it worked out in the Cubs' favor, which is and the huge check swing, by the way, in game one, which worked out in their favor as well. That's two calls in this series that historically the Chicago Cubs never get.
And by the way,
something I think Andy, you pointed out. Sorry, Adam. About Hunter Pence has taken two balls way deep to right in pretty much every other ballpark. Those balls are gone. So it seems like everything is just going the Cubs' way tonight.
Yeah, and I was going to say that Crawford grounded out to short on the very next play. That could have been a double play.
I'd also like to make mention that they just put the stat on the screen that I was going to say. 32 and a third innings, the Chicago Cubs bullpen against the Giants this year have not been scored upon. So if you don't believe in jinxes, you can say that right now comfortably. Because we just need about nine more outs. Actually, not about. We need nine more outs of non-scored upon, and we can advance.
Make it eight, Carm.
You're ahead of us?
You're that far.
That's amazing.
We're on delay. All right. Kev, we'll check back in with you in a little bit, all right, and certainly after the game.
By the way, yeah, Hayward in right, Zobrist left now.
Okay. All right. That makes perfect sense.
Contreras,
thanks, Kevin.
I think we should keep Powell up. It's a nice sound.
We have to go to a break. We're still live on WGN Radio, Carb, and there is a clock to follow. So
overrated.
Unless you want to keep Kevin on during the break, we could do like what they're doing on
the
TV.
With
a double box, radio double box.
I like your radio discipline right now. Good job.
Okay.
Gold star for you.
Well,
by the way, Adam Hogue and I are both wearing Northwestern shirts, long sleeves, which, with all due respect to the beloved Cats, and there's nothing I want more than for Pat Fitzgerald to make it to a bowl game this year and for Chris Collins to take the Cats to the NCAA tournament this year. On a deciding, clinching game, it's a bold choice to go purple.
Well, I don't have any Cubs stuff. I don't own any. You do, so this is more on you than me. I put on the most comfortable thing I could put on because we're going to be on the air until 2 a.m., and I woke up at 4 a.m. So that's what was going on in my head. I can't explain Mr. Cubby over there wearing Northwestern right now. But good for you.
Mr. Cubby over here went to the gym and this was the...
Worked out your aggression?
This was what was in my trunk, and that's what happened.
Thank you. Of your trunk. Mark Carmen.
Had a great pregame steam. I got
this. This is getting out of hand.
We got to recap this.
This is getting out of
everything,
hand.
Okay. Some weird salad no one's ever heard of. Pregame steam.
Like a sarsaparilla salad.
Carmen's losing his mind. We need this game to end. This is True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN. That was Mark Carmen clapping in the background. You heard there. Very excited about that Chicago Tribune read, not the Chicago Cubs game.
Moving to the top of the eighth, Travis Wood came on to face the lefty, Denard Span, and we are six outs away from the NLCS. Ooh. I said it.
See, that's the thing I can't do, because I learned my lesson the hard way.
In 03?
In 03. And, you know,
what did you do in 03?
It wasn't me personally. I was in the clubhouse already because we had to get ready for what we thought was going to be a little bit of a celebratory mood.
Did they not win that game?
Were the tarps already up in the clubhouse?
They were starting to be put up. Yeah. See, because it has to get taken care of before the guys come in. Because once the guys come in, it's a free-for-all.
Would you prefer that I told you that the Saporita salad is a spring mix, a portobello mushroom, a roasted red pepper, a goat cheese, an EVOO, don't know what that means. That's some organic olive oil.
So, Adam, like I was saying, I was in the clubhouse. when this was all going down.
In a balsamic vinegar.
And
now you know.
I like goat cheese.
Yeah, I kept hearing you kept hearing the chants that were going on around the ballpark.
That was not a shot at the Cubs, by the way. I legitimately like goat cheese. Yeah. After I said it, it sounded like a shot at the okay. Cubs.
Forgot Sorry. About the goat reference there. I don't even believe in curses.
I really did not mean to make a goat reference. Sorry.
It went over my head.
I actually am interested in your story.
Me
so
too.
It was, you know, because there was a situation where when you go in there. When we had the games, we had the little box up on the wall, which I could hear the radio call, which was ahead of what everybody was seeing on the television side. And going into that game and into that eighth inning, up 3-0, people were counting down outs.
5 outs to go.
And it stuck at 5. And forever, ever since that day, I have refused to count down outs because I don't want to get that wrapped up. I just want to let it happen.
Are you going to punch me in the face if I start doing it? Like,
no, this is my decision. It's not your.
But you're in the room with me. We're on the same team.
It's your thing, man.
For the next 3 hours, though, we are on the same team.
I get you. I get you.
I want to be in rapport with you, Andy Mazur.
We're good. You're good. Whatever you want to do, I'm fine with.
How about these?
They're
showing a picture right now of some dude having a barbecue out on the
on his kayak.
On his kayak, waiting for a home run ball.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. That park, by the way. If I will tell you this. Working in the West Division for 7 years and getting to go to that ballpark 3 times a year.
Andy Mazur, former voice of the San Diego Padres, should still be the voice of the Padres. Continue on.
Absolutely fantastic ballpark. If you have not made it out there, I would recommend several ballparks around the major leagues, especially in the National League, because I'm much, much more familiar with those parks. I would say AT&T should be first on your list just because of where it is and the location.
All the parks in baseball?
I've heard a lot of people say that.
It's over Fenway?
I'm talking about National League.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
National League, current parks that are over here. No, well, I'm assuming Wrigley is where people are already going. But I would say AT&T Park and I would say PNC Park are two that you need to go to. PNC in Pittsburgh. It's absolutely gorgeous the way that it's set up in the city of Pittsburgh. And this one is right down in the China Basin, which is right on the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it does get a little chilly. I'll tell you that, but it's an absolutely spectacular ballpark.
58 degrees at first pitch tonight, which is about the same as what it was at Wrigley the first two games.
Do we have time for me to tell my one time ever going to Pittsburgh to see the Cubbies play story?
Yes, but one quick question. Where does Guaranteed Rate Field land on your list?
I've already been there, it's pretty...
I just wanted to mention Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah, it's pretty low.
The Great.
I love The Great. 1998, before it was PNC Park in Pittsburgh, it was...
They had Three River Stadium.
Three River Stadium, yeah. Very good.
AstroTurf.
Right.
One of the cookie cutters from the 70s.
Right. Same deal as Cincinnati.
And Philadelphia.
And Philadelphia, right. The vet. So, me and my buddy drove out. That was the year that Sammy went bananas, hit 66, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, my memory is really getting bad if I have to think about that. So, we drive out there. We're just out of college, guys. It's 98. So we're going full, staying at a campground, no hotel. We stayed in the most Deliverance. I mean, it was... It was unbelievable. I thought it was going to be over. And so we went and played golf, right? And... we pay for 18. Well, we play the first nine. It's like 200-yard par four holes. We play the first nine, and I'm not a golf snob at all. This course is perfect for me. We play the first nine, and I look at the guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, we paid for 18. Where's the next one? And he just looks at me, and he's like, 9 hole. And I'm like, excuse me? 9 hole. So their idea of playing 18 was that you played from, like, the red tee was, like, 10 feet up, and the black tee was 10 feet back. So if you're playing 18...
So you replay the 9.
You replay the 9 from the different... from the red, or if you play the red, you play the black.
So same hole, different distance?
9 hole. Sir, I played for 18. I'm staying at the campground down the street. I'm going to see the Cubs and the Pirates.
All right.
Sammy. 9 hole. See, Hoag, if you were friends with me then, and we were both Cubbies, you could have been there. Nano.
I'd go with you anyway. I don't have to be a Cubs fan. I'd go on a trip to Pittsburgh with you to go see the Cubs.
Would you go campground, play 9 hole? for 18? $12 18?
Like, if it's $12, $12, yeah.
That's it. All right, I'm in.
I don't remember what it cost.
For $12, I'm in. 9 holes, fine.
9 holes.
I'd play 5 hole.
All right, top 8 in San Francisco. Cubs trying to hold on to a 3-2 lead. We will certainly keep you updated.
By the way, EVOO on the Saporita salad is extra virgin olive oil.
Okay.
Bam.
Got it.
See, now everybody's circled back and is all on board.
True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust. That's what you got here on 720 WGN.
About it.
Best Cubs postgame show. Back to True Blue Playoff Plus, brought to you by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
No doubt about it. Mark Carmen, not a big fan of Jason Heyward.
Do it for Ernie. So good to hear the Ernie voice. Mm. Yeah, Jason Heyward, nice guy, professional.
Anytime you start any sentence with nice guy
professional,
you know the butt is coming.
Always, most of the time, at least available. You want to talk to a Jay Hay, Jay Hay's there for you.
Jay Hay, holy mackerel.
He'll say the right things. It's just the part about hitting the baseball. It's been an issue,
yeah. I will agree with you. And, you know, I will say again, I told you three weeks ago we worked on a Saturday that I thought that Jay Hay would be
a bigger contributor
here in the playoffs. I mean, obviously.
I did, too.
Yeah. I thought that he was going to be better than the regular season. Then again, that's not really raising the bar very high. And I also thought Baez would be the X factor this year. I mean, in absentia of a healthy Kyle Schwarber, you know, who really made his mark last year, you know, Baez is the guy that's got to be in the lineup every day.
Well, and if you're just joining us, and we do want to know why you're listening. We want to know if you're not a baseball fan.
Which is okay.
We want to know if you're a terrified baseball fan.
Which is also okay.
Which is beautiful, because some people just can't handle watching the game. We'll give Lou Malnati's to the best reason. 312-981-7200. Why are you listening to us in the middle of the Cubs almost advancing to the NLCS? Is it just loyalty to Adam Hogue, to Andy Mazur, to yours truly, Mark Carmen? But the other question, it's very important to keep your cell phone on vibrate when you're on the air, Mark. The other question that I wanted to point out here, not a question, I'm sorry. Javi Baez is at bat tonight before the 3-run homer by Jake Arrieta. Outside of the home run, maybe the biggest at bat of the night. He started, he was 0-2, worked it, foul ball, and then gets an infield single, if memory serves, correct?
Yeah, to third base. And you know, I think even if you go to the at bat before that,
Russell had a great at bat too.
Russell, who got hit by the pitch eventually, you know, it was an at bat that they did what they're supposed to do, and they did what they were doing all the beginning of the part of the year: patient at bats, picking out a pitch. If it's not there, foul it off. They had Bumgarner throwing 37 pitches in the second inning.
Yep,
37.
To the point that he's like, "All right, I'm just going to fire this fastball, and I'm going to get you, Jake Arrieta." No, I'm not. It's sailing into the night, and the Cubs are up 3-0, and Anthony Rizzo lost his mind in the dugout.
Yeah.
And Adam Hogue and Andy Mazur were celebrating in one studio, and I was in another one.
Chest bumping in here. You missed it.
And you're claiming that you didn't go nuts, which I'm not sure I believe.
I was so terrified, I guess, or just paralyzed watching the game that, you know, when you're sitting in a room and you don't move, the lights go off. So the lights were off, and then when he hit it, it was just hands over.
That's
that.
It. That's clap. Way too calm.
That was. Well,
it was early.
It was the second inning.
Second inning.
And they're up 2-0, and I was in a dark room by myself having a Saporita salad. So that was the reaction.
Texter from the 312 is upset that I don't have any Cubs gear to wear.
Well,
which I blame you. And actually, that's not – well, I don't have it anymore, but I did have a Cubs shirt back in 2003. I don't know if you guys remember this, but they were selling World Series shirts on the street.
Leadoff single to start the eighth for the Giants off of Travis Wood.
And
I'm going to have a heart attack.
Carm.
Yeah.
Focus.
After game 6, 2003.
Oh, no. What are you going to do?
I bought a Cubs shirt on Sheffield for like $10. It said Chicago Cubs World Series National League champions on it. Wore it to game 7. Your thoughts?
I mean, you're that's a great troll.
No, I wasn't even doing. I was, I've told you the story multiple times. I went nuts when Kerry Wood hit that home run.
Did you really?
Absolutely. Literally on this exact show 2 nights ago, I told you I cut my hand on the fence at Sheffield.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but it was. I didn't realize it was around Wood's homer. But maybe
yeah,
you said,
it was
I'm sure
Kerry
you said
Wood's
that.
Home run went nuts. I told Andy the story the other day.
You did.
That's so good.
Because my buddy's seats were right along that fence, like way at the end in right field. And
it's my favorite moment in the history of the park, the Wood home.
Oh, it was an unbelievable moment.
It was so incredible. It was a spiritual moment.
It was
unbelievable.
It was one of two times during that series in 2003 that I thought the press box was going down.
It was incredible.
I'm not kidding you.
I don't blame you.
The Sosa home run in game one.
That was incredible, too.
Almost knocked us down, and then the Wood home run almost knocked us.
They were down a run in the ninth in game one, two outs. Sammy's at the place. I think it was two strikes.
Yeah, it was two strikes.
I was up against a pole, and you know, one of the poles in the terrace. I leaped up in the air, hit the stairway awkward, fell on my rear, and it was in a decent amount of pain because I was it was a high leap. And that's
see, the playoffs cause pain. I cut my hand. Yeah. You.
And by the way, Travis Wood is out. Hector Rondon coming on. Cubs are up a run. The Giants have the leadoff man on.
815 says, just listening between innings because I don't like commercials.
All
we'll
good.
Take that.
We'll take that. We're good filler.
312-981-7200. Why are you listening to us?
We got a caller right here. Let's go out to Tracy, who is on 720 WGN, if I can find the phones on the board here. Oh, you're up. Hey, Tracy.
Good evening, guys. I enjoy listening to you. I especially enjoy Andy. I love your stories about Ron Santo.
Oh, thanks.
And you're 10 of my favorite minutes every Sunday morning listening to you talk to Dean Richards.
Aren't you the nicest person? Give her Lou Malnati's, Carmen.
I don't know. That's
she's not even related.
Oh, come on.
She's not even related to me.
You just picked Andy as the favorite. I'm biased towards myself. You got to say something nice.
I enjoy all of you guys, but I especially appreciate Andy's expertise.
Okay, fine. You
that's fair.
Thank you, Tracy. I really appreciate that.
Tracy, you're not watching the game? Are you watching?
Oh, I have it on. I have it on. The sound is down, and I'm listening to you guys to try to remain calm.
Right, as we talk about salads. That is the perfect way
exactly.
to stay calm.
Is it working?
It's working.
See? I feel good.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you, Tracy.
Appreciate
the phone call. See, we're doing Cubs fans a service.
We are. Buster Posey's 3-for-3 is at the plate against Hector Rondon.
He's due for an out. It's just
that's
the way
you gotta
science.
Look at it. Yeah.
It's baseball science.
You gotta look at it that way, Carm.
Yeah, Carmen is melting down.
Carmen's
in front
melt.
Of our eyes
yeah.
right now. I hope it's coming across the radio. I'm not sure it is because you're kind of holding it in, and you need to see. Unfortunately,
I don't know about you have to look at it that way. I don't know what way to look at it. I'm looking at it in a paranoid way. Come on, Hector Rondon. You are the greatest Hector Rondon that's ever Hector Rondoned. Come on.
The 262 says, my FM radio broke on my truck a year ago. Been listening to you guys ever since.
Nice.
Love you.
Just, I love the image of that.
That's good stuff.
Just the radio's broken. It's here on 720. We love it. Perfect.
Hey, you know, earlier today... Or actually, was earlier this evening. Big Poppy's career came to an end. The Indians actually went into Fenway Park today and swept the Red Sox in three games.
So much for the Cubs Red Sox World Series.
Yeah, how about the sweet irony and sweet revenge for some guy named Terry Francona?
Yep.
Who is managing the Cleveland Indians, celebrating on Fenway Park's sacred grounds.
That is pretty incredible. Let's have that happen again in about 3 weeks when Theo can dance all around Fenway. Anybody in for that?
Well, they're out.
Well, they lost, so no, we're not in for that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Thanks, great. Let him beat the Indians and dance on Terry Francona and make believe that he's at Fenway
on top
Park.
Of him.
Dance on Terry Francona,
dancing on Terry Francona. I can't think.
Okay, yeah. So the Indians win 4-3 and move on. They're playing the Blue Jays. The ALCS is decided.
It's already set.
It'll start Friday night. In Cleveland.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, that's right, because the Blue Jays were the wild card.
That'll get some ratings. Cleveland and Toronto.
That could be the Joe Carter Bowl.
That's true.
Joe Carter played for both clubs.
That's true. That is true.
Oh.
Meanwhile, in L.A. today, the Washington Nationals come into Dodger Stadium, win 8-3, take a 2-1 lead in that series. who would you rather see if you're the Cubs between those two teams?
You know, it's kind of a six of one, half dozen of another. I don't mean to try to dodge your question, but, you know, if I'm looking at starting pitching right now, I'd think I'd rather face the Nationals because they're not as deep right now without Strasburg. And they're throwing Gio Gonzalez today, who did not look all that good, to be honest with you. You've got Scherzer, of course, who's pretty special.
The Dodgers' rotation doesn't exactly scare me.
No, but I like their bullpen's a little bit better. But today it melted down inexplicably. Kenley Jansen, who throws the ball at 98 miles an hour and usually is unhittable, served up a pitch today that Jason Worth hit. I think it's still going. And it's not easy to do that at Dodger Stadium at that time of the day. And it really separated things in the ninth inning. It was a one-run game, and it turned into a little bit of a blowout.
Dodgers with a lot of lefties, and Hector Rondon just walked Buster Posey.
As a neutral observer, I would prefer to see the Dodgers, just for the sake of baseball. I don't know. There's something to me that's special about the Cubs playing the Dodgers in the NLCS.
Let's go manager right now. The Giants have runners at first and second with nobody out in the eighth. You're up a run. You've got Chapman warming up. You go into him right now. You need six outs. Because I think, he's got Addison Russell out there talking to Rondon as they're getting. He's got Contreras out there talking to him.
I mean, if this is game five, there's no question.
Just a good thing Joe West is an umpire in this game, because the stalling tactics would not be stood for.
Hunter Pence is going to be at the plate. You bunting with Hunter Pence if you're the Giants?
Well, we're going to find out because Joe is going to make a change.
We'll keep you posted while they figure that out. Let's check in with Rita here, 312-981-7200. Hey, Rita.
Hey, how you doing? You guys are awesome. Truly assets. I appreciate you so much because all I have is UHF. I'm 63 and I'm not updated. No cell phone, no computer, nothing.
You are target audience right now.
I am old school. You guys saved me for the Bulls, the Bears, the Sox, the Cubs, everything when it's not on TV.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in, Rita.
Hey, Rita, before you go, what do you think about Joe Maddon going to Aroldis Chapman for six outs here as he has made the move?
Go for it. Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Keep up the great work. You're truly assets.
All right. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you, Rita.
Appreciate you tuning in. And
Rita, I'm crawling under the table now.
Definitely.
You guys have a good
FS1 definitely not coming in on the old antenna.
No.
There for you.
It barely comes in on the satellite, too, sometimes.
We'll take a timeout. We'll keep you updated on what's going on in San Francisco because it's...
Oh, boy.
There you go. It's not going well right now based on... We should just put Carm's groans and reactions on. It'll pretty much tell you what's going on out there at the game. True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN.
Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Adam Hoke, Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur here with you on 720 WGN. This is True Blue Playoff Plus presented by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking. And it's a nail-biter right now in San Francisco. The Cubs with a 3-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth. The Giants have two runners on, nobody out, and Joe Maddon brings in Aroldis Chapman. What do you guys think about this move?
Here's the stat of the day. Aroldis Chapman has one more career six-out save than me.
That means he has... One.
Exactly one.
I'm assuming you had zero in your
I did have zero in my big league career. It was a fleeting career, yes. But I tell you, you know, this is the reason you got this guy. And this is the reason you go out and get a guy that can get you a strikeout when you need a strikeout.
Well, you got one to start the inning, and the great Hunter Pence has gone down. So I'm sorry, I can't even function right now. So they're five outs away. This is an aggressive move by Maddon. Very, very aggressive move. I honestly, please just ask me questions like, what's my favorite peanut butter?
Here's the only
thing. I like crunchy, but I also like creamy. I like them both.
Here's the only thing that can mess these.
Connor Gillespie gets a hit off of Aroldis Chapman, I'm going to have a heart attack.
That can't physically happen. Trust me. That cannot happen. It's just not part of baseball.
Didn't Connor Gillespie hit a three-run homer or something crazy against the New York Mets to win the series?
Against Jurys Familia.
Yeah. Who the Cubs have never gotten a hit off of, ever. I'm lying flat.
He's almost in a prone position here, folks. It's a little
you are almost at a like a flat.
Yeah, he's almost pro. He's almost
angle
right
here.
Yeah. Man up. All right, sitting up. There we go.
Like,
hi.
You have the lie flat, you know, first class seat right now, and I cannot believe that you are as quiet as you are right now. All right, got a lot to catch up on here in what's going on in San Francisco. The Cubs are now losing 5-3. Before you guys get to this, what is going to be talked about endlessly for the next 24 hours and Joe Maddon's bullpen decisions.
Depending on how the series goes for longer than that, hopefully it'll be just for 24 hours.
Carm, you mentioned in our first hour here, and this is True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN. Adam Hogmark, Carmen, Andy Mazur here with you till 2 a.m. filling in for Paddy Vasquez, and we're going to get you caught up on the Cubs and talk about it till 2. But you mentioned earlier in the show that the Arrieta home run in this game was the biggest home run since Kerry Woods in Game 7 of the 2003 NLCS. It's looking like you're going to lose both of those games. You're talking about two huge clutch home runs from guys who shouldn't have been hitting them. You can't lose those games.
This is a tough one tonight. You had a 3-0 lead. You had one of your aces on the mound. You had a lot of opportunities. And the game's not over, but the Giants do have runners at second and third with one out, and they're up 5-3. But Cubs do have the top of the order, and Sergio Romo is not a great closer. But assuming that it does go the way that it looks like it's going to go right now, it's just a tough game to lose. Yeah. You had a 3-0 lead. You knocked Madison Bumgarner out. You had all the momentum going. And now you're in a dogfight. I mean, let's be honest. You're moving on to a game four with John Lackey and Matt Moore. Matt Moore's pitched very well. And then you know, we'll see what happens. But you certainly don't want to be in a toss-up game five.
All right, a couple of things about the Chapman move that –
yeah,
you know, at first glance, Rondon didn't have it. Okay, and I get why you bring in a guy like Chapman because you need a strikeout. He got the strikeout of Pence, but you know, in having some time to kind of digest it, and obviously I have the benefit, and we have the benefit of sitting here and being able to digest it, not having to make the move on the fly. But generally speaking, when you talk about closers, they prefer clean innings.
Yep.
Going into an inning without anybody on base, you know, without, you know, with the first pitches of the inning, okay?
And by the way, I get how annoying that is to the casual baseball. Why does
it
matter?
No, but I know. It's a mentality.
Well, and I would also argue right away that for what you gave up for this guy, he should be able to come in any situation in
Agreed.
The playoffs and
Agreed.
Get the outs.
But you also have to manage a guy's psyche and mentality, and you have to understand and know who you have and what they're capable of doing at this point. And I understand you gave up a lot. To get this guy, and yeah, it, you know, some of it lays at the feet of the player not being able to execute pitches. But the other thing that I have a problem with now is that Joe Maddon left him in for 22 pitches.
Yeah,
there's a game tomorrow. This is your closer. You're going to need him to pitch tomorrow if the situation arises. And now you're 22 pitches in, and they were not easy, stress-free pitches. There's a ton of difference. Any pitching coach in Major League Baseball will tell you. There's a much different feel with 22 pitches with nobody on base and you're throwing strikes as opposed to 22 pitches when you're from the stretch. Most of these guys are from the stretch anyway, and there's guys on base, and these are all pressure-packed pitches.
Well, the other part of it, too, is he pitched in Game 1, he pitched in Game 2, so he's going to be pitching tomorrow if they get to that position. Hopefully they will. He'll be pitching his fourth out of 5 days, it's, which is not nothing. So I agree with you, Andy. I mean, I would have gotten – once they – once Connor Gillespie hit
the hit, get him out.
Then that's it.
Yeah, get him out.
So, and he, you know, oh boy.
I mean,
that
was my problem too. I don't have any issue with him bringing him in that situation. That's exactly why you went and gave up what you did to get Aroldis Chapman. But I totally agree with you that, okay. He blew the save. Mm-hmm. Get him out.
The day before the playoffs started, I was going through a deep dive into all the Cubs relievers and where the concerns were. In 12 outings since coming off the disabled list, Hector Rondon had given up hits in 7 of the 12, runs in 5 of them, multiple homers in 2 of them. All right? He Now, they didn't have a lot of great – Carl Edwards Jr. had an ERA of 6 in August and 5.79 in September. But those were more blown up because two of his last seven outings were poor. But if you look at his entire season, 36 appearances, he had three bad outings.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Rondon is coming off the DL and has been garbage.
Yeah.
Now, he pitched well the other night, so I get that maybe, you know, Madden, you know, this has been his guy and there's mm-hmm. experience there. And listen, he was the closer last year and he was great. I get it. But the bottom line is, C.J. Edwards, Carl Edwards, has been a better pitcher than Hector Rondon.
I agree.
And a texter from the 262 says, without the pitchers hitting, we would be swept.
That's a fair point,
you know,
too.
I don't know if it would be a sweep, but right now you got six RBIs from your pitchers. Mm-hmm. I think you only have three from the rest of your team.
There's two guys I'll say three guys. There's three guys who have been productive at the plate so far. Baez has been the best.
Mm-hmm.
Bryant's been getting hits.
Yep.
And Dexter's been decent at the top.
Yep.
The rest of it hasn't been there.
Well, and I'll give you two moments in this game, and I said it to you right here in the studio before we were on the air, that, look, after you get the home run from Arrieta, you got a single from Fowler and a walk from Bryant, and you had Anthony Rizzo up with two outs, and he struck out.
Yeah.
Well, was that the play that actually – no, that was where it looked like he struck out. They went the break. They came back. He actually lined out to second.
Yep.
You had Baez was up with runners at first and third with only one out. They put a bunt play on the second pitch on a curveball. He bunted it foul. You would have liked to have gotten at least one there. You know, runner at third with less than two out. You know, good teams, they score that run. Mm-hmm. Not that the Cubs aren't a good team. Let's not go crazy here. But that was an opportunity.
Yeah. Rizzo also struck out with a guy on first in the fourth, Baez's strikeout looking too. So there were missed out. The point is there were missed opportunities early in this game where you could have taken that 3-0 lead that your pitcher gave you,
mm-hmm.
and put the Giants out of their misery. And they didn't do it. Now, granted, they're facing Bumgarner, and he's a really good pitcher. And outside of the 3-run home run he gave up tonight, I mean, he wasn't great, but he was good enough.
Yeah. And listen, I also don't want to hear that, well, you know, you knew the Giants were going to get one game. You know what? When you're up 3-0 and you knock Bumgarner out, they're not the defending champs, but whatever. They've won 3 championships in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've had 9 elimination games, their last 9. They've won all 9 of
all
them.
All of them.
Now it's about to be 10. It cannot be minimized or overstated is what I'm trying to say. We've been here many times. They lost 3 in a row to the Marlins. They lost 3 in a row to the Padres. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but until a series is over, anything can happen.
And this team is on the brink. The Giants are on the brink of going 10-0 in their last 10 elimination games.
Yeah.
This is something they've been through before. They fight through it. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. This game isn't even over yet.
No.
But you have to start thinking about these things. If you don't win on tomorrow night, Bumgarner on Thursday?
He won't start, but he
threw 101 pitches. He'll be available.
Yeah, exactly. In the fifth inning of that game, he's coming in.
Yep.
If it's a tie game or the Giants are ahead.
Yeah, and I understand. It's easy for us to sit here right now and with the benefit of all this time to think about things, you know, to second-guess things. And Joe Maddon has been pretty good, I would say, throughout the year, with a couple of exceptions with handling the bullpen and knowing which guys to bring in. I get the thinking when you need a strikeout to bring a guy in that can get you a strikeout. He did. But then there's I don't know what it is. And Adam, you're right. I mean, casual baseball fans are tuning in and going, you're paying this guy how much? You gave up how much to get this guy, and he can't get two outs in an inning because it wasn't a clean inning. It wasn't because he came in with a guy at first base. I mean, that's inexcusable. And again, like I said, a lot of it does belong at the feet of the player. You know, trying to think along with the manager and trying to think along logically, knowing his players better, obviously, than any of us do, you know, you got to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. But the thing that bothers me, as I pointed out, is you kind of let it go too long, and you're probably going to need this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Cubs do get out of it in the eighth with only – a two-run deficit. It's now 5-3 Giants. It's moving on to the top of the ninth. Dexter Fowler up to bat as the Cubs are at the top of their lineup. We will keep you updated. We're here for you, 312-981-7200. Yes, Carm?
And, listen, I said that Fowler's been hitting. Maybe I'm just like...
He got a hit today.
Yeah, he had a hit today, and he had a hit off Samardzija. He's 2-for-11 in the series. He hit 182. Let's not go crazy, Carm.
Yep. They could use a hit here. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll be here for you to vent if the Cubs do go on to lose this game. If they somehow come back, we're here to celebrate with you till 2 a.m. It is True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN. Once again, that's Mark Carman in the background clapping because he's very excited about a read. He loves Lou Manfredini on WGN TV. Who doesn't?
Exactly.
Who doesn't? He was not clapping because Dexter Fowler just walked to lead off the ninth.
I was clapping for Lou. Go, Lou, go. Go, Lou, go.
Saturday Mark Carman is losing his mind.
Oh,
it's
lost.
On WGN.
No, it's lost.
Saturday mornings with Lou. All right, so leadoff walk for Dexter Fowler. Never say die. Anything's possible right now over here. I don't know what you guys are doing for the next 2 hours.
I would just like to point out, and this is courtesy of a tweet from our friend Chuck Garfine at Comcast, the White Sox traded Connor Gillespie to the Angels in July 2015 for cash. The Angels released him a month later. He didn't even make it the rest of the season with Anaheim, Los Angeles of Anaheim.
Listen, the guy doesn't know how to spell his name. Connor's with two N's, and Gillespie...
He's Connor... Gillespie.
Gillespie. It's Gillespie. It's with an E. But he sent the Giants into the NLDS over the Mets, and I had a nightmare moment when that happened. Like, this guy's going to do this to us, too. And he did it tonight. Oh, my. I can't believe that Connor Gillespie did that to us. That's really disappointing. And so there was this thing that's going on in the world with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. You let me know when I could say it.
Say it. I'll let you say it.
I could say it now.
Go say it.
So there's a guy by the name of Chris Bryant who did this thing with the baseball where he hit it high and deep, and I don't think it's playable, and we're tied at five.
Tell me who's sitting right next to you that just told you that if Dexter Fowler gets on base.
Andy Mazur, my favorite person ever, just said, if Fowler gets on, you too, Adam. Don't get, and you too, Craig Collins, doing an outstanding job.
Craig's really hurt. I could tell.
Oh, my God.
All right, to translate whatever Carm just said, Chris Bryant just hit a two-run home run. The game is tied in the ninth inning. It is 5-5 out there in San Francisco. Just an amazing,
bring in
huge clutch hit from the MVP. That is why he is the MVP for moments like that.
I can't believe what just happened. That ball was in the air for – it was like the Baez home run to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Whoever, just got out.
They stood under it, and it's like you hit the top of the weird wall, whatever that was.
They've got a little automobile cutout on the wall.
Home run. By the way, the Giants had runners at second and third with only one out, up to 5-3. They left them on there, mm-hmm. similar how the Cubs left guys on, and we're tied.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
Noon in it, too.
I had a good feeling about that. I had a good feeling about it because this matchup, Sergio Romo is nowhere near the guy he was when they were winning world championships a couple of years ago as far as being a closer. He was hurt midway through the year. He lost the closer's role. He throws this little cement mixer slider, and that's his bread and butter pitch. And you're feeding the beast right here because that's exactly where Chris Bryant wants it.
Yeah, they marked the exit velocity at 102. I thought he got under it. I didn't think he had enough there. And that thing just hit the top of whatever that orange cartoon car thing is sticking up in the outfield. Let's go out to AT&T Park in San Francisco, bringing our baseball insider, Kevin Powell. Kevin, a lot has happened since we last talked to you about an hour ago.
This game is insane. I mean, seriously.
Are you okay?
I'm great.
Are you screaming?
It just seems to be... No, I've been dealing with a cold, Carm. I'm battling for you. Insane game. Every time you think something's going to happen, the opposite does. I heard you guys talking about Chapman earlier. I was totally fine bringing him in the eighth. That's what you traded all those prospects away for these situations. But I will say that Joe Maddon in the regular season insisted on keeping Chapman to sort of a three-out routine, where, as you guys said, that's
pitchers are trained to pitch a certain amount of pitches and a certain amount of innings in certain scenarios, and Chapman's more of a one-inning guy. So was Joe Maddon over-managing a little bit? Maybe, but it's Aroldis Chapman, and you don't expect that, especially when he was coming in to face four straight lefties. I mean, you get four of those and then Denard Span, so six of your next seven batters are lefties.
Who's warming Chapman up? Who's coming in here?
That's Montgomery in the bullpen.
Okay.
He's been up and down all night, really.
Mike Montgomery.
It's just a game of unexpected. I mean, it's insane. The crowd was into it. They were going crazy here. But you go, we go, right? Dexter Fowler gets on. Next thing you know, it's Bryant. And, yeah, that car, that orange car out there, that weird little quirky thing out in left field almost kept Bryant's ball in the playing field. So it's just an insane game here.
What happened with Jason Hayward? He brought him in to pinch hit. He brought him in for defense, and then all of a sudden Almora's playing right.
Yeah, I blinked and he was gone. So I've got to sort of dive into that and figure out what happened. I think if Hayward's in, I think he catches that ball.
I don't know if
I
don't know if he catches it or doesn't catch it, but I would think, like, in a tie game, you want your best outfield defense out there.
So wait, he took him out after putting him in?
Yeah,
he went into right, and then the next thing you know, Almora was in. So
you guys got a lot of questions for Joe Maddon after this game, win or lose.
I know. And they're likely not going to say much if they do lose this, but we're headed to extras right now. Chris Bryant, two-run homer, ties it up here in the ninth in San Francisco.
All right, Kevin, we'll check in with you again when this thing's over. Thanks, KP.
All right,
Kevin Powell at AT&T Park.
Technically going to the bottom of the ninth right now. We haven't reached extras. Hopefully we will if Mike Montgomery can live dreams.
Did Kevin call Montgomery?
Whatever.
Chicago accent?
Get him out.
Love it.
Let's go Montgomery.
Well, let me clarify one thing.
Yeah.
Because Joe Maddon did use Aroldis Chapman for more than three outs. The first three outings that he had when
That's
he was
right.
with the Cubs.
Yeah, he did.
One was a five out, one was a four out. And I think the other, he didn't make it through. Actually, the first one he didn't make it through.
And
then he got the save, and then he got another save.
And then it was like they had a come-to-Jesus moment where all of a sudden that stopped, where we're all like, look, man, I pitched the ninth, Joe. And
so there is a precedent, I mean, that was set early in the acquisition that, you know, he did go out there for an extra out or two.
And he had to have double-switched when he brought Chapman in. That had to be when Almora came in and Hayward went out as he was trying to – Because as you
but
just,
what's the lot?
You know, it's. I'm kind of at a loss, and I mean, I respect the heck out of Joe Maddon. I respect the heck out of what he's done for this club all year. I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit here with trying to understand the Chapman move. First of all, now the Hayward move. If you don't start the guy, you certainly want him to be able to come in, pinch hit, perhaps. But what he's been able to do for you all year is play defense. I don't think.
Well, it's
he
not like
Almora
is good.
No.
Yeah, Almora is good at defense.
I agree with you.
So it's not like it's a questionable move. It's just weird because you bring in Hayward for the defense. So I'm sure he has a reason. You know, most of the time you start criticizing Joe Maddon. He comes to the post-game press conference and has a tremendous reason that you're like, oh,
let me think
about it that way because you're the genius and we're not.
Let me tell you a quick story. I know we got to get to the news here in a second, but here, I learned this a long time ago. I learned this the hard way with Dusty Baker, as a matter of fact. I went on our post-game show, and I didn't even criticize. I kind of questioned a little bit just in talking about the situation of the game. I show up to the ballpark the next day. Dusty asked me to come into his office and shuts the door. He had heard the post-game show and asked me, you know, what I was thinking, and I said, you know what, I just made an observation. And there's always a reason. There's always a reason that we don't know. There might be a guy that's hurt. There might be a guy that's not available, period, end of story, because of overuse. I always now defer to the manager because the manager knows his ball club and knows his players a heck of a lot better than I do.
Let me just tell one story. I know we're up against the break here, but Jim Riggleman would always give you an answer. And so there was this gentleman who used to cover the Cubs. I think he's around George Castle. You may have heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
So George, Riggs would like...
Georgie.
He would allow you to... He'd have the conversation with you. And so George is like, well, why didn't you bring in whatever lefty it was? And he's like, well, what would you have done? And he's like, I would have used the righty. And he just looks at him. He's like, against a righty? You would have used, you know, he's like, well, you know, that doesn't make any sense. And Riggs, and I'm sure you would back me up on that, he always had an exact reason of why he did what he did.
John Fox has that conversation with me every day.
But Riggs,
I mean, he totally goes through his reason.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I missed that sarcasm for a second. I'm like, don't ever compare.
It was extreme sarcasm. All right, we'll get a check in news. We'll be right back. True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN.
WGN.
So you guys remember in that last segment of radio we just did where, you know, we were kind of second-guessing Joe Maddon, and I said to you, look, there's a reason for everything. You just don't doubt the guy. And sure enough, during Rob's news right there, Albert Almora Jr., who we were wondering why he was even in the game for Jason Hayward, because Jason Hayward came in earlier for defense, you would think. Now, Almora, I said, was a great defensive player, too. It's just weird that you made two defensive switches at the same spot. Well, he makes an incredible diving catch, which turns into a double play, and the Cubs get out of the inning in the bottom of the ninth. Incredible.
Well, and here's the thing. If he doesn't make that catch, Joe Maddon, not that it really matters, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, but he would be getting killed by Cub fans for you brought Jason Hayward in and you double switched him out for Albert Almora, who missed the bomb hit by Connor Gillespie and then would have missed the Hunter Pence bomb, but he made a huge catch on a 2-0 count, by the way, too. I mean, the Cubs were hanging on by the skin of their teeth, which, by the way, scoring any time right now would be great. Because it's at some point the Giants are going to play one.
I'm good with that.
And the Cubs they could be down to their last pitcher at this point, because Carl Edwards Jr. is in the bullpen, but he might not be available.
And that's the thing, because you know you never know going into a game, because the manager is never going to detail before a game if a guy in his bullpen or a guy in his bench is not available. He doesn't want the other manager to have any clue or to be able to manage against that. You would have to think now, if you're in extra innings and you've got Mike Montgomery, who is a starter, basically that this is Mike Montgomery's game.
You would think. I agree. I don't think we're going to see Carl Edwards Jr. unless Montgomery goes 3, 4, 5 innings if we go that late, which I think I said before we started this broadcast, watch, this thing's going to go till 2 a.m.
We'll be here for it.
But I don't know why Carl Edwards Jr. wouldn't be available unless he's hurt.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, and you don't know these kind of things going in, and obviously there's a reason. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about last segment, is that the manager knows. He's got the information. He's got the medical staff and the reports there for him. And that's got to be the reason.
Well, and he pitched an inning in game 2, which was, you know, there was an off day in between 2 and 3. I mean, he should be fine.
Yeah.
And but I get the question, because he didn't use him when he could have in the 8th.
I just am so amazed, and Carm, you know, I said this to you so many times, even during the regular season when we're doing our show, The Beat, on the weekends. These young kids for the Cubs, it's like every move that this regime has made has worked out, and now it's still early in the playoffs. This is only the 3rd game. They may go on to lose this game, but you get the big hit from Chris Bryant there. You got the huge, I mean, Javi Baez was the MVP in the first 2 games, and now you get that catch from Almora. Almora, who you didn't even know if he was going to be on the playoff roster. Andy wanted him there. Nice call.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, usually something like that does happen in a series. You're going to find a guy that's a defensive specialist that's out there for those kind of reasons, you know, to be able to make a play if you need a play to be made. The thing, and Anna, touching on what you're talking about there with the young guys, I have been so impressed with the way that they've all come up, and they've all been very, very sure of themselves. They have not looked overmatched. I mean, in cases, when you're facing a really good pitcher, you can't duplicate the amount of time you have facing a guy. You know, you're in there for the first time, you sometimes look pretty bad. But the thing that I like about the whole way the thing is kind of turning out now, there's a way to do things. And I hate to say a way, because everybody starts thinking about the Cardinal way, which, you know, right now they're getting their NL Central participant trophies. you know, there's a book, you know, a book that is being taught early in single A and even in instructional league on what you do and how you approach things and how you play this game the way that the Cubs want you to play it, and it's a refreshing change.
Meanwhile, in the 10th, Cubs go down in order 1-2-3.
Sergio Romo, who did give up the 2-run bomb to Chris Bryant, looked very good in that inning. His slider was nasty, but that's now two innings for him. He's over 30 pitches, and the deeper you get into that Giants bullpen, you have to like the Cubs' chances. However, you know how long Mike Montgomery was very shaky last inning.
Mm-hmm.
Now the plus side though is that you just went through the heart of the order. So you're
the
now,
heart of the Giants order.
Yeah, although you do have to face Connor Gillespie again. But now you're at you're at 6-7-8. So in theory, if we can map this out, we're only at
4-5-6.
4-5-6. Yep. Oh, Posey made the last out?
Posey made the last out.
Was it Pence? Okay, my bad.
Yeah, so, and amazingly, I'll say this again, Connor Gillespie is batting 5th.
Okay. So,
amazingly.
Originally, he was in the 8th spot today, but right. Angel Pagan was scratched, so he got moved up to 5th.
That's right.
So if you're, let's map it out then, 4-5-6, Pence, Gillespie, and Crawford. If you can get through that, then you would have 7, 8, and 9 if the Cubs can score. You don't necessarily have to see the heart of the order again if you can be incredible. That would be the way to do this.
Can I go on a super limb here and think maybe along with Joe Maddon here that if the Cubs get a lead in the top of an inning, that's when you see Carl Edwards Jr.?
Maybe.
I think you will see that. Okay. I think that's exactly right, Andy.
Because he kind of becomes a de facto closer.
Closer, yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Okay.
So let me get this straight. So with Hayward coming in for Arrieta earlier in the game in that spot in the order, Almora would be up to start the next inning, I believe, because Contreras just struck out to end the 10th. So you're talking about if the Cubs can get it back here, it's Almora, Fowler, and Chris Bryant.
No. It's Coghlan who's in left right now.
That's right. Coghlan came in on that extra double switch.
Coghlan will lead off, then Fowler, then Bryant. Almora's in the 4 hole.
Which is where the pitcher used to be.
Yeah, Soler.
Oh, that's where we're Soler.
Soler,
okay.
Soler started there, then Strope was there, then Wood was there, then Rondon was there, and now Almora's
there.
There'll
be a quiz later.
It's hard enough to keep this National League Baseball together when you're at the game, let alone doing a radio show while the game's going on. But I think we have that figured out. Hopefully it'll make sense to the listeners. We'll repeat it, though, when the Cubs come up, back up to bat, because it is the bottom of the 10th.
Well, I just want to just name this right now, guys. This is one of the more historic nights that the three of us will ever have together. How many times will we be on the air doing a Cubs postgame show opposite the Cub game in our own beautiful way, hopefully, of keeping you company through your anxiety? And it's 12:45 in the morning, by the way, or 12:45 at night, depending on how you view things. It's 12:45 at night if Patty was here, right, Craig? So, yeah.
So
my hope is that at 1:57, some Cub hits a home run, we sign off and hand it off to Noonan. That'll work for me. I'm willing to I'd be completely good with that.
I'm okay.
And then Noonan can do his own version of it.
By the way, why am I this? I don't get upset about text, but 847, Adam, your tool, Bryant, ties it up. What did I do?
Yeah, I didn't get that one either. And I didn't send it.
You didn't send it?
No, that
wasn't me. Not that 847 number?
No, that wasn't me.
It wasn't me either.
I didn't know that. I don't know. I don't know why I'm getting attacked.
I think we need some support. I need some support. 312-981-7200. If you could just talk us through what's going on right now and just say that it's going to be okay and that the Cubby are going to survive, that'd be wonderful. 312-981-7200. Or if you want to talk about the election, that's cool too. It was a tremendous entertainment last night, if nothing else. Was
and
last
CPS
night?
Avoided a strike.
Yeah, that
that's
too.
The other big news tonight, which is always good news for parents who were probably staying up late wondering if their kids were going to school tomorrow.
That's a good point. So, kids, if you're awake now, keep listening.
But, I mean, we need someone to talk to right now.
I'm kidding,
I know that we're supposed to be radio hosts and drive conversation, but we actually need you. This is getting challenging.
Can we rewind, though? How great was that when Rob broke in with the breaking news on the Chicago Public Schools avoiding a strike, goes live to Karen Lewis, who's reacting to Connor Gillespie's double that blew the game
because we know it's important in life.
That was great.
Can you imagine how those negotiations were going with the TV on in the background and kind of taking a break every once in a while?
If you could imagine like a moment for WGN Radio, a huge breaking news story, mm-hmm, in the middle of a Cubs show while the Cubs game is going on. To me, that's the perfect moment. Karen Lewis reacting to the Cubs blowing the save.
It's like a triple header.
It's perfect.
Meanwhile, I don't want to jinx him because I've done a lot of jinxing tonight, but Mike Montgomery looks a little bit better this inning than he did in the last. He looks a little crisper, a little better. So there's that.
Are we breaking here, Craig? Okay. We can do that. First, I'll tell you this. It's a sad fact. Nursing home negligence is a serious problem. Neglect of elderly residents happens when nursing homes are understaffed. Nursing home negligence includes medication errors, malnutrition and dehydration, falls, pressure sores, and failing to follow doctor's orders. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Konasek and Dillon. The law firm of Konasek and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Konasek and Dillon understands that turning the care of a loved one over to a nursing home or professional caregiver is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved ones in return. Protect your loved ones. Call the law offices of Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Call Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655. 55. Yes, Carm.
I just want to mention as we go to break here, they just called Connor Gillespie out on a pitch that was low and maybe 6 inches off the plate. The Cubs are getting a lot of calls.
Other than that, it was a great pitch.
Are you trying to say that Connor Gillespie deserves that call?
Yes, actually I am.
Okay.
The great Connor Gillespie.
That's fine. Cubs all tied up in the 10th. It's nervous. This game will never end. We're going triple, quadruple overtime in baseball, hockey terms. We're losing our minds here. But we're here for you, 312-981-7200. Got a couple of phone calls on the line. We will get to you. Got to take a quick break. It's 720 WG. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur here with you. Rolling the post game. We've almost 2 hours deep. The game's still going on.
The game is not over.
It's the pre-post.
The pre-post.
With Chris Coughlin.
Is he on the show?
No, he's not.
And, oh, bummer.
He's
not on the bases either.
We're top 11, 5-5. Coughlin actually hit the ball extremely hard off of Will Smith, a lefty, who's on for the Giants. So that's good news that Romo's out of the game. At least who knows what's going to be good news or bad news. But a new pitcher for the Giants, that is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith is on. Former Royal, Will Smith and I have had one-on-one contact back in the day when I worked in Kansas City. Will Smith is hittable. Let me just leave it at that. You can get to Will Smith. Was also a brewer as well. Now a Giant.
Yes.
And loves horses, if memory serves. Although that might have been somebody else. That might have been Nate.
Also,
that could have been Nate Adcock, who I loved.
Also got
jiggy with it.
Shot in New Orleans. The Saints player.
Oof.
Did he die? I forget.
Weird football reference.
See, he did.
I think he may have, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to kill him off if he didn't, but I did. That's another Will Smith.
The guy that didn't like you, Hogue, says, Adam, you said if the Cubs somehow managed to win this game, you sounded like you expected the Cubs to lose. A loser attitude. No fight in the dog. No fight in the dog, i.e. a tool. Get it. No one thought the Cubs were going to win this game at that point, just for the record. Not a single person.
And I think I was the only one who mentioned that they could still win.
Yeah.
Carm was off to game four.
I was off to game five and they had lost. That's where I was.
Carm was to the offseason already.
Yeah, I was too. And Dexter Fowler, who was up after Chris Coughlin, also hit a line shot, but right to the shortstop. So maybe Chris Bryant will just go deep here and we will build a statue. If Chris Bryant goes deep right here, we'll build a statue for him.
In the interest of being correct, former New Orleans Saints defensive end Will Smith was murdered on April 9th of this year, which is what I thought.
Who is the home plate umpire tonight? This guy is awful.
It is Larry Vanover.
Yeah, Larry Vanover.
Larry Vanover just called a pitch about 10 minutes ago to make that like 17, 28, 42, 98 seconds ago. He's right down the middle, ball one. I mean, like, literally right down the middle. Now, the catcher had set up, like, way in the other batter's box because they don't want to pitch to Chris Bryant.
But he just made up for it.
How hard would it be for me to get to be a major league umpire?
Because I'd really like to do that. Very hard.
Yeah. Did your grandfather or your father ump?
You need that family history.
The legacy
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah, okay. So that won't happen for me.
That is correct.
Well, this
Wayne Randazzo could do it. part of the Mets broadcast team because his
Tony
Randazzo is his cousin, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he could get in.
Well, that means that I'll just have to stick with doing this.
All right, let's get to the phone lines, 312-981-7200. Michael, you're on 720 WGM.
How you doing, guys? This is Michael Klein from Chicago Airport.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, you know what? I just want to tell you guys, always have a great coverage with the Cubs and the Blackhawks, and I always look forward to hearing you guys.
You're at O'Hare right now, Michael?
What are you doing at O'Hare?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I work over here. You know, I do a little thing here and there, you know.
What does that mean?
I'm just a parts clerk. No big deal. No mechanics around. I'm over here sitting in a truck listening to you guys.
Are you on the runway? You in the hangar?
Somewhere near that, yeah. We're line maintenance, so, you know, I stick around the taxiways and the terminals and all that. It's a great job. I love it.
I'm jealous. I love
the
airport.
That's pretty cool.
It's not as fun as you think when the winter time comes around, especially with that de-icing team coming around and, you know, you get your shoes, you got coolant all over your shoes. They call it, you know, glycol, but, man, it's sticky, man. You will not appreciate the winter working there. But the summers are nice.
Where do you eat when you have all that stuff all over you and it's time for lunch?
Trust me, I'm a 320-pound man. I can eat. Trust me. they got the Skybridge up here. I love that place. I mean, they got delicious burgers. They got Stanley's up there, but I mean, I don't like to talk and eat. I just listen to the radio and eat. That's just how I am.
What do you get at the Stanley's there? Is that a burger? What are we talking here? I'm fascinated.
It's a bar and like a kitchen. I don't drink at the airport. They don't let you, but if I could, no comment there. But I mean, they got good food. I usually like their fries. Their fries are very good. I compliment everything.
As long as you're not flying the planes, I feel good about what you're doing here, Michael.
10-4, good buddy. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Stay out of the way of those big boys.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sir.
All right,
10-4.
Thank you, Michael.
That was a fun phone call.
I've always wanted to be in some form of transportation, a pilot, a train engineer.
So why not follow your dream?
Well, I got a lot of dreams.
You do have a lot of dreams.
Can you imagine this guy with the demeanor he's showing right now flying your airplane?
What's going on there, good buddy?
No.
Holy mackerel.
Martyr, why are you still here? Just to be me. Are you being
it's
mean?
It's a big night for
really?
Things.
You're asking that question?
Okay.
The Cubs are still playing.
Mm-hmm.
What else is
I had
on?
To gather in Karen Lewis, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, Forrest Claypool. I'm working, man. I'm here for the people.
Rob,
can we go back and get Karen Lewis's reaction to the blown save again?
That was awesome. That was absolutely awesome.
That was great.
Hey, let me see if I can find it. Hang on.
Hey, Rob.
High-level negotiations and boom, a blown save.
Yeah. We voted a strike. Oh, no, the Cubs blew it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I've got to carve that out.
Let's go
back
to
the
table.
That's fine. Whenever we
can
get. Yeah. I love that.
I'll get it for you.
I love that. Let's go live. Oh, the Cubs blew it.
Rob, since we're talking news here, this is a big deal tonight, isn't it? Are both sides happy?
They seem to be, yeah. Karen Lewis sounded pleased. The smiles on the lawyers' faces look good. Mayor Emanuel came out just a few minutes ago. He seemed happy. Forrest Claypool thanked everybody. So I think this was a fairly decent deal all the way around.
Good.
Yeah.
We all know the teachers deserve to make more money.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I hope they're happy with what they got.
Until the next time.
That's fine.
It seems like it happens all the time.
It does.
It's never ending. All right.
On the station that knows the Cubs the best.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Final hour of True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN. Went on at 11?
Yes.
Now
yeah.
Past 1?
Mm-hmm.
And the game is still going. Two of us here, Adam Hoge, Andy Mazur, and Mark. Well, there's three of us here, but two of us are breathing.
Correct.
Because Mark Carmen is also here. He's not breathing.
One is turning true blue over there.
We got two outs at bottom 11 here. Giants have the winning run out at second base with Denard Span at the plate breathing. Carl Edwards Jr. is warming up in the Cubs bullpen, so there's that.
Well, Montgomery is now in his third inning of work.
He's stretched out, though. I mean, he's made some starts toward the end of the year. So it's basically, I think, like I said, I think Joe Maddon was thinking along. I was thinking along with what Joe Maddon had in mind. You know, it's Montgomery's game, and if there's a save opportunity, it's Edwards.
Well, I got to tell you, and I know this probably isn't what you want to hear, but I feel good about the Cubs' chances if they can get out of this right here because you got Bryant coming up again in the next inning, and they actually did just get out of it. So there you go. I mean, they're through 11 in San Francisco, headed to the 12th. Cubs and Giants tied at 5. Help me out again. Who's leading off here now for the Cubs?
Well, let's go to the other side. It'll be Rizzo leads off. Bryant made the last out.
Oh, did I just miss a whole inning?
Yeah, Bryant struck out to end the 11th.
Check that.
Anthony Rizzo, who's 0-5, is
time late for Rizzo to do something.
He's now 0-13 coming into this at bat.
Can I go first world problem on you guys?
Sure.
Score sheet that I made for myself here only went 11 innings.
Oh, mine only went 10.
I have this thing pulled up. It's called ESPN.com.
Yeah, I like to. If I write it down, it sticks in the brain a little bit more.
It's an optimistic part of the point.
I did a game once, seriously, that went 22 innings. So this is nothing.
Which one was that?
This is child's play. April 17th, 2008, Padres Rockies night game, getaway night.
Oh.
6 hours and 16 minutes of baseball, baby.
I can't believe it was only 6 hours.
Attended by how many?
That was pretty well attended. It was early. It was a Jake Peavy, Jeff Francis game that went scoreless through 9 innings in 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Jeff Francis.
Who will ever forget Francis, Fassero, and Farnsworth, the
three Fs. Let me give you another little tidbit about that game. It ended on an unearned run. Khalil Green was the shortstop. The Padres are on their last pitcher, and it was Glendon Rush, the former Cub, who unfortunately struck out to end the game.
Didn't the Bears draft Khalil Green?
Glendon Rush.
Yeah.
That was Kasim.
I had a theme song for Glendon Rush. He rushed it up there. He rushed it up.
On that note, let's go out to San Francisco.
He rushed it up there. He rushed it up.
Kevin?
Hey, boys.
Please save
What's
us.
Up?
Kevin, you like that tune?
How are you guys doing in there?
He rushed it up there.
I just heard some clapping. I was being questioned in here which broadcast outlet I'm with by a nice gentleman. I'm not exactly sure why he was asking me that. I hope I didn't do anything wrong. And I told him I had to go on with Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur. And once I said those names, he backed away quickly and let me do my thing.
As they should.
C.J. Edwards, the only pitcher left in the bullpen. After that, I don't know, maybe we'll see David Ross take the mound if this game goes even later.
Well, they could, in theory, I suppose, they could go to John Lackey. I mean, I doubt they would do that, but that would be an option. And then
Are you scheduled to start tomorrow?
Well, I don't think that's
going to happen. Then you got to go Lester on 3 days rest then?
Then you would be throwing Lester in game 4. I don't think that'll happen, but at some point, I'm sure he's considering it. I don't know. I mean,
I think he'd probably almost go positional player rather. Don't you think at this point?
Not in the playoff.
Because then you're giving away the game.
No, they'll.
I mean, you put Lackey out there, you still have a chance to win this thing, and then it doesn't matter what you do tomorrow if you can pull this one out.
Yeah, unless they bring Lester in. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope it doesn't really get to that point, to be honest. But Anthony Rizzo just struck out. So
nothing new there.
Working two outs left in the top of the 12th. A crazy game as we talked about earlier. What else did you guys talk about?
Well, how about this? When we last time we talked to you, Kev, we were kind of questioning Hayward being in and then coming out, and then Almora makes that great catch.
Yeah, it's crazy how it works. I mean, this game is just filled with unexpected things. Just when you think it's going to go one way, it goes another. Almora coming up huge. Brandon Belt didn't even care. He saw that ball going to right, and he thought it was dropping. I mean, he was almost all the way to third by the time Almora caught the ball.
Well, the Giants' base running tonight has been terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's to his credit, though, when that ball came off Posey's bat, I thought there was no chance Almora was getting to it.
Well, it was a tremendous catch.
Yeah. It really was. Between that and Baez, we've had some pretty outstanding defensive plays here tonight.
How's the give me a climate, Kevin. Is it cold out there? Is the ball traveling?
Sorry, I'm watching a play. Almora just ripped a double. The climate here, is that what you're asking me, Mark Carmen? It's nice. It feels like back home. Just like an early fall night. Nice little breeze at times. Press box windows are open, so it's nice and comfortable. Every once in a while we'll get a nice breeze coming in here. I enjoy this type of weather. Just got a nice hoodie on. Or like a fleece, good to go. Not too hot, not too cold.
All right,
I enjoy this weather, Mark Carmen.
Kevin, we'll check in with you when this thing is actually over. If it actually does end. Maybe it'll be tomorrow.
When your show's over.
All right. See you, Kev. The play that is in question right now is a potential double right now. We're not sure.
No, we're sure it's an out. They're going to the tape. Ooh.
Well, maybe not.
It sort of looked like it bounced out of the glove, but we'll let you know what happened there.
Denard Span was coming in hard and fast and slid for it. I think he caught it, but we'll see. Maybe replay evidence will be
earlier in this game. Earlier in this game, we had a replay that was inconclusive, and it was the call on the field went the Cubs' way. It was a play at first base with Connor Gillespie again, who just seems to be popping up in this series. Javi Baez made a tremendous play, throw to first, the scoop by Rizzo, looked like his foot was coming off the bag, and they could not determine on the replay whether or not the foot was on or off the bag at the moment the ball went into the glove. And in this play here, it looks like it was a catch, but maybe it came out of the glove for a split second. I'm not sure, but they may rule once again inconclusive.
If they get this call, we're winning the World Series, and they did not get this call. He's out. So, yeah, all day.
That's the right call.
Yeah,
I agree.
So, okay, two outs, nobody on.
All right, we'll take another timeout. You okay? Are you going to make it 45 minutes? That's all I'm worried about right now.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. And I will listen. We're staying positive here. They're having Mike Montgomery hit for himself. So
It's his game. I don't think the Lackey thing's happening.
No, I don't think so either. But hey, listen. If we get to 14-15, all bets are off.
But don't you if Montgomery's really gassed, don't you go to Carl Edwards Jr. before you? I mean, you're not saving him.
No, you would. But, okay.
You're not saving him for a potential save in the 19th inning.
Maybe not 14-15, but who knows? With this game right now, get to 17-18, Lackey's not completely off the board. That's all I'm saying.
Let me throw in an X factor here. Kyle Hendricks.
That's a huge X factor. I would bet I think is off the board because he's probably
days rest. After
getting drilled.
Not that many pitches, though.
But only threw 54, was it?
You know, actually, hey, listen, anything's possible.
Yeah.
If Hendricks went and said, I'm fine,
let me go
test it out, it's possible, sure.
Well, hey, look,
Lester's possible.
More importantly, the Cubs have a pitcher up the bat right now. So, I mean, there's a chance for a
usually
home run.
Usually good things happen, yeah.
That's a good point.
Right?
I like the way you think. That's a positive thought.
This is where the Cubs offense comes from, the Cubs pitchers. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come right back. It's True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN. Good choice there, Craig. This game is going on forever. True Blue Playoff Plus. We're going to two. That's what was scheduled. And right now we're on a race with the game.
True.
Blue.
So... Craig Collins just handed me the 12 longest games in MLB postseason history. Okay. Well, Adam, you certainly should remember one of them, which would be number 5 on the list. That would be your White Sox and Astros.
Yes. Jeff Blum.
Yep, 14.
The Connor Gillespie of the 2005 World Series.
Yep. The home run by Jeff Blum in the 14th. The longest game ever was 18 innings. That would be the Braves and the Astros, 2005, the NLDS. The Astros, as it says here, hit a roadblock on their march to the World Series. when the Braves put up a four spot against Brandon Backe in the third. Houston battled back. Then the teams played eight scoreless extra innings until Chris Burke, who I believe wore number two.
Two. Infielder and a little bit. They played center field and second base.
Hit a walk-off homer in the 18th. Roger Clemens got the win for the Astros in relief, speaking to the Cubs potentially going to a starter here.
Yep. It happens. I mean, and that's kind of an all-hands-on-deck situation.
Yep. And, hey, do you remember who Mike Montgomery was traded for?
I do.
Dan
Vogelbach.
The Vogelbacher.
Yeah.
I mean, if he ends up somehow, some way pulling this off, I don't care if Dan Vogelbach hits 40 bombs a year for 3 years. I'll say the trade was worth it. Let's go, Montgomery.
All right. So while we kind of continue to wait for this game to move along, I do want to – David Haw from the Chicago Tribune just had a great tweet about how long this game is going. Somebody please remind John Fox, or somebody let John Fox know that the press box is out of hot dogs. That reference was in – was in regards to something John Fox said today at Hallis Hall about basically all we do is sit up in the press box and eat hot dogs. The question was about the 4th and 8 at the end of the game yesterday when Brian Hoyer did not see that Alshon Jeffery was wide open, and he was asked if, well, he was basically asked, was Alshon open?
It could have been an option. You know, I don't know that it can be super critical. I think, you know, when you're out there playing quarterback, it looks a little different than when you're up in a press box having hot dogs.
But you as a coach, to you as a coach, does that illustrate the difference between Hoyer and Cutler?
Well, I'm not going to get into all this, you know, as far as differences between two guys. You know, I just think that, you know, it would have been an option that you know, had we had the coolness of the hot dog laden press box, we might have gone there.
He was open from up there.
Yes. He was open. He was open from that film I just looked at too.
So there. Okay. So
good for Fox having some fun.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't sort of an insult to us, but okay. Fine. But can we just review what he said? The coolness of the hot dog laden press box.
Yeah, it's
like the hot dogs are just flying everywhere. Like, you just can't avoid them. There's just hot dogs everywhere.
Like, you have that those booths that throw money up and you try to grab the money
I'm sitting there trying to type on my computer. Up there, hot dog lands on my keyboard. Another hot dog.
Just for the record, Connor Gillespie, who killed the Cubs earlier in the game, is back up, and there's a runner on first with one out as Mike Montgomery did not cover first base. My problem with that whole soundbite is Mark Potash.
What?
Is that the difference? For the Sun-Times, so I love Potsy. But he's asking, is that the difference between Cutler and Hoyer?
Yeah. Throwing to Alshon Jeffery. Completely fair and obvious question. What are you talking about? You and I talked about that for like 5 minutes yesterday in the postgame show.
How about the difference was 33 of 43 for 400 yards? There was a difference.
And missing your wide-open number one wide receiver who happens to be a top 10 wideout in the entire game of football.
And losing the game.
Did Alshon not drop a ball on that drive?
Whoa. First of all, your whole problem with Jay Cutler is that he has these great games, but then he throws a pick at the end, right? How is that any different than missing your wide-open wide receiver in the end zone for a game-winning touchdown? There's no difference.
Brian Hoyer was great yesterday.
He was great. He also missed his wide receiver wide open in the end zone that would have won the football game.
You were just eating hot dogs.
If you're going to criticize Jay Cutler for doing that stuff in the fourth quarter, you have to admit that Brian Hoyer blew it yesterday at the end of the game.
He did. Jeffery did break free. That's all true.
Let me ask you the obvious question about yesterday. I think I even asked you this about 20-some hours ago on the Steve Cochran show yesterday.
It was so early, I actually forgot I had a conversation with you on the air this morning.
Adam, I know. I talked to you on the air yesterday. Oh, yeah, that's right. The obvious question to that whole situation was, you got Jordan Howard running like a truck.
Yeah.
And he handles the ball 16 times.
That
7 yards
me.
A pop.
It's hard to criticize play calling when your offense puts up 522 yards, but I was actually criticizing the play calling because it's the guy's got 7 yards per carry. A lot of that came off some big runs, but that's the point. He could break a big run at any time Why not continue to go to Jordan Howard? And how about also the fact that the roof was open yesterday at Lucas Oil Stadium? By the end of the game, the sun was basically just concentrated in one spot, and that happened to be exactly where Brian Hoyer threw the ball on the 4th and 8.
Well, let me ask you this, too, because, you know, when the coin flip goes up, the Colts know that. Don't they? I mean, if you defer and you pick which end you're going to go to, and you pick which end you're going to be in going down the fourth quarter, they weren't going that way in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
they were going
the other way. It was all on one half of the field. Yeah. And when it got to the fourth quarter, that's where the Bears were driving, and the sun was all right there.
Home field. Home cooking.
Meanwhile, we're moving to the top of the 13th.
Trying to get your mind off that.
See, I'm trying to distract you by trolling you on Jay Cutler. You're not responding.
I was engaged for at least half of it. Now we're on to the top of the 13th.
Well, let me ask you one other question about Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
Because he got off the pile one. I think it might have been after the 57-yard run. And all I saw was the 4 on the back of his jersey. And I saw the way he was running. And I'm telling you, and I mentioned this to JP, Jared Payton, yesterday on the CLTV show. The kid was running hard. I never want to make a comparison with a fifth-round draft pick right now making his first few starts in the NFL to the greatest running back of all time. But, man, he runs hard like Walter did.
There's something to the kid.
He runs really hard.
There's something to the kid, Jordan Howard. I think they found something there with him. And, by the way, speaking of Jarrett, yesterday was my first experience watching a Bears game next to Jared Payton. And
he gets into it.
He had a Chicago Bears alumni sweatshirt on, and there's no cheering in the press box, and JP wasn't cheering. I don't want to accuse him of that, but he was very demonstrative in his comments to me. I'll put it that way. Very into it, Jared Payton, as he should be.
I can remember Brant Brown hitting a walk-off home run against the Phillies, and I was in the last row doing the sports ticker at the Wrigley Field press box, and I definitely leaped out of my seat and enjoyed Brant Brown hitting a solo shot. I loved Brant Brown.
Were either of you guys at the 2005 World Series game too?
I was.
No.
Were you working in the press box?
No.
Okay. I was going to ask, what was the press box like? Because there are moments where whatever side you're on, and you're not supposed to be on a side, but even a neutral observer has to just admire a bit. I'll go back. Do you remember Blake Hoffarber's turnaround jumper in the Big Ten tournament for Minnesota like 5 or 6 years ago? It was a cross court throw in. He turned around. It was like Christian Laettner style. Okay. There's a shot on the Big Ten Network where if you identify me sitting on press row, I jump out of my seat. and I mean, I don't know if I was screaming or not. Probably not. But I definitely had my hands up in the air. Like, oh my God, that just happened. And if you're going to accuse me of, being a homer on press row, I went to Wisconsin, so why would I be cheering for a Minnesota guy? It's just a moment where you just can't help but enjoy a great sports moment. And, I assume that Chris Bryant's home run early in this game, in the top of the 9th inning, to tie this where we're at right now, 5-5, was one of those moments. That will somewhat be determined by the outcome of this game, but I think it goes down as one of the best home runs in franchise history.
If they come back and win it, Javi Baez a one-out single, so runner on first with one out. You got a 3-run bomb from Jake Arrieta and a 2-run tying shot in the 9th, and we're in the 13th, baby.
Another young kid. These young kids are coming through. Wilson Contreras up to bat will tell you about what happens right after this break at 720 WGN. All right, back here on True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust, the home of Cubs Checking. Adam Hogue, Andy Major, Mark Carmen here with you. Till 2. And Brian Noonan's going to be here at 2 o'clock. And whenever this game ends, there'll be some Cubs talk, of course, here on 720 WGN. It's like we've gone full circle now. It's like 4 hours ago we had a play at first base where it looked like Rizzo's foot was off the bag. Then they ruled it wasn't.
Brandon Belt looks like he's off the bag this time.
They're reviewing it again, but Ross already looked at it and then took his helmet off and went in the dugout like he...
I think you just get something to drink.
Right, Ross didn't see the proper angle. He is off the bag. We'll see if the...
I don't think he is, dude.
Oh, he was off
the bag. Let me rephrase. I don't know if he is or not.
Yep.
If you saw the play and you went and got your tee earlier and you missed it, it was almost exactly the same situation where you couldn't definitively tell on the replay. There's two contradicting angles here.
Yeah, but the angle from behind.
Yeah, down the right field line certainly looks like the ball is in the glove with the foot off the bag.
I mean, I think it's pretty blatant.
We thought the other one was blatant, too. We really did.
It did. I know. And let me say this, too, about replay. There has to be something put into for replay next year where, like in the NFL, Adam, when the referee makes the call so that everybody in the stands knows what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
I want to hear an umpire tell me, not Ed Hockley style, but just tell me, listen, the call is upheld.
Kevin Powell at the ballpark tweeted, it's pretty clear he was out.
Well, we'll see what they call here. From the vantage point that we – one vantage point, it looks like he's out. But when they show it from behind, it's very clear to me that he was off the bag. And the umpire's having an extremely long deliberation right now.
Yeah, it's been a very, very long review, which is a perfect segue to the 12 longest games in MLB postseason history as this one chugs along. And I think we'll have a call here. And he is out, by the way, so – that's the end of the inning, right?
Yep.
We move on to the bottom of the 13th.
They got that call wrong. But okay.
I don't think they did. Sorry.
Mazur?
The longest game.
Got it wrong.
If let's put it this way. The precedent has been set already earlier in this game. There was no way they were calling him safe after calling their runner out at first base. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think they could. It wasn't going to happen. Right. All right, the 12 longest games in Major League Baseball postseason history. This is from USA Today. The longest game, Braves-Astros 2005 National League Division Series. You guys remember this one?
Mm-hmm.
This was a fun one. Game 4 went 18 innings. The Astros hit, and I'm reading from the USA Today here, the Astros hit a roadblock on their march to the World Series when the Braves put up a 4 spot against Brandon Backey in the third. Man, some of these names are going to be great to bring up again. But Houston battled back. Then the teams played 8 scoreless extra innings until Chris Burke, part of the Killer Bees, right, mm-hmm. hit a walk-off homer in the bottom of the 18th. Roger Clemens got the win for the Astros in relief. Those names bring you Backey?
Yeah.
Brandon Backey?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Burke?
This game is the longest game in Cubs history, and
can't get off this deck.
I would take Brandon Backey on the roster right now. Bring back Backey, bring him back.
The second longest game in postseason history: Mets Astros. Again, the Astros involved. 1986 NLCS Game 6.
That was in the Astrodome.
16 innings. So the Astros have hosted the 2 longest postseason games in Major League history.
Michael's still listening at O'Hare International.
Was that the game? I want to look this up again, but was that the game that Billy Hatcher hit a home run? No, it couldn't have because they were at home. I know there was a situation like in the 12th where each team scored some runs and then they ended up going 16.
According to the story, Jesse Orosco got a bat.
Yeah.
Got an at-bat in the game. He also held the Astros to 2 in the bottom half of the frame of the 16th inning and took the win. So, the Braves also involved in the third longest game, which is, well, it's a 3-way tie, actually, between, we mentioned earlier, the White Sox-Astros game in 2005 World Series Game 3, which, of course, ended with a game-winning home run by Jeff Blum in the 14th inning. And then Mark Burley got the save
mm-hmm.
in that game. The fun story about Mark Burley, and this has been said publicly now, so is that he was not supposed to pitch in that game, obviously, and he was told he wasn't going to pitch. He didn't have the right shoes on, and he at some point had a beer or two in the clubhouse because as the game's going on, it's your day. You're not your day to pitch. They do that mm-hmm. sometimes, and he came in and got the save after all that. Good for him.
Yeah, pitching through adversity.
This is a legend turned true story there over the years.
Burley was such a gamer, man.
Oh, love Mark Burley.
I love Mark Burley. Can they suit Burley up for?
Well, he didn't officially retire. I mean, I think he did, but not voluntarily. It's not like he announced it. Because I wanted the White Sox to bring him back this year. So that was a part of a 3-way tie for the third longest games. You also have the Braves and Mets in the 1999 NLCS Game 5, went 15 innings. the Mariners-Yankees in the 95 ALDS, which is a famous series. That went 15 innings.
Leadoff double, Brandon Crawford. Nobody out, runner on second.
And Derek Law still waving an orange towel in the dugout, which is really kind of bush league.
And a guy...
Why is that bush league?
You're not a cheerleader in the dugout with a freaking towel, you know?
Well, I mean, apparently he
come
is.
On.
Hey, he's the law. He can do whatever he wants.
I fought the law, and he doesn't want to know who won.
By the way, I misspoke. The tie for third longest games were just the Braves, Mets, Mariners, Yankees. The White Sox, Astros game was tied for fifth. I know you.
I was all over it.
Yeah, I know.
I was right there. I'm kind of
the texts were about to flood in with that mistake.
Where, if I'm the San Francisco Giants, and I'm not, and if I was Bruce Bochy, you got a lefty on the mound, lefty at the plate, runner on second, nobody out. I'm bunting here,
and I'm bunting to third base.
Yeah, that's
I'm
what
make
I
the third baseman handle the ball.
They're swinging away.
I hate bunts.
Hey, sometimes, you know, when you got this kind of a matchup here, lefty-lefty, although Panic has had a pretty nice day at the plate. He's got three hits today. Oh, two hits today. Two for three.
It's two for three. Montgomery's thrown 56 pitches, which...
getting close.
He's pushing the envelope. But he's pitched well.
Mm-hmm.
If this doesn't work out, you can't blame Mike Montgomery.
Nope.
Well, he's at 56 pitches. Does he look fatigued, you guys?
No, but I think he's getting there toward the end.
I think we have hit the end because Joe Panic has just
hit a double off the wall.